And then she still has some company. And is there, thanks to Nancy Fletcher as well, that's always good to know that.
Very comforting for us to know.
Yeah.
That you're here.
Yeah, that's a very fact. Thank you for that. Just some of the announcements here today. I just want you to know that, you know, we did pray for rain. You know, and I just feel like, you know, we cannot forget to thank the Lord for that today, because He says, you have not because you ask not. And, you know, and rain is one of those things. It was really dry. So I'd like to just thank the Lord this morning. You can join your hearts with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain that you have sent our way. You know, it was just a beautiful rain, and yet we got at least 2 inches, if not more, and we know there's other places of people who are viewing us or listening to us on Zoom today who would say, like, I wish we would have had that in our place where we live. And Lord, you know everything, and you know even the prayer requests before we even pray them. And so we just want to thank you and praise your name for moisture and for the rain that you have sent our way. And we pray on behalf of those that are still in need, that, you know, we know that even though we listen to the weather and local news or local TV stations, it doesn't always mean that what we hear is what can take place. You are the God of the clouds, the God of the rain. You can bring it at any time, regardless of what any kind of meteorologist may say. So we just pray to be with those that are in that kind of a need today, wherever that is. And we just want to thank you for hearing our prayers, and that our prayer is real, and it really is a power with prayer, and it does change things. And we just pray that people remember that, even in light of what goes on in this world today. And we're thankful, Lord, for Debbie, for Doug, and for David being here to see Gay, their mom. And it's a difficult thing to go through. There are some that have already gone through that. There are some that did not have that kind of ending to their parents. And there's some that just say, you know, Alzheimer's is one of probably the most difficult, and hospice care is one of those things too, where you just don't know what's going to happen from day to day or from night to night. And so at any rate, Lord, we just pray for your grace and for your strength given to the family, as well as our time here together today, that you would speak to our hearts through your word and through the music. Be with Charlie. She sings her song for us today on the other side of the cross, I think it is. And she'll tell us what it is. And we're just thankful that we can be here in your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name. Just this coming week, just want you to know that there will be no men's Bible study on Tuesday. My wife and I, we're going to go down and see the Ark. Wherever that's at, I'm not real sure, but we're just hopping in the vehicle with some friends of ours that are heading that direction. They said, you want to come with? And we said, okay. So we're going to head down on Tuesday morning and be back Friday night sometime. It's going to be kind of a quick trip, but plan on seeing the Creation Museum as well. Something else that's down, it's not too far away. And so we're looking forward to that. Just a reminder as well that there is a congregational business meeting, or annual one, that is coming up on the 25th of April, and that all the reports need to be in by this coming Friday, July. This coming Friday, which is the April 16th. Charlie, do you need any more?
Yeah, there's still a few missing.
Okay, we won't ask you who they are, but you know who you are. We need to get those reports in.
Anybody that is on a committee.
Anyone who's on a committee, a chairperson on that committee, needs to get that report in. So that's all the announcements I'm going to make. There's other things in your bulletin. And this has the worship team to continue to lead us in worship this morning.
Oh.
actually the words to the song that Bob is going to teach us today called Waymaker. And it says here, "You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you.
You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God, that is who you are.
You are here touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here healing in every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Waymaker is not your quarrel. We heard this song through Michael Douglas Smith. He's going to teach it to you. We'll be doing it the next 3 weeks as part of our Song of the Month. So, let's jump back there. I'll just kind of go over a little bit of it, and then we'll be ready to go here. sing once a year, the Sunday after Easter. And she picked some songs that bounced back and forth, and I told her if I get lost, she sings.
That's what he taught us in choir.
Anything you want to say about this song?
Oh, this song just kind of follows up from the song that I did 2 years ago when I did, can't even remember the name of it now, Oh, the Cross Was His Own. And we did this one last year, and it didn't come through with Zoom real well because we were just new at it. So I was asked to do it again, so here we go.
Right in with the message. And invite you to stand as we hear God's word together today. It comes from John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. On the evening of the other side of the cross, no, Patrick says, on the evening of that day, of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we have before us this morning. Thank you for the hope that it brings into our lives, and it also challenges us, and asking us to see where we are at with you spiritually in our lives today. Are we a lot like your disciples are here in your printed page? Or are we more like the disciples who have heard your commission and are in the work and the labor of serving you today? Whatever it may be, you are here this morning in this place, and those who are listening by Zoom, from wherever your word is heard, you are there. And if you are there, so faith also is present. May we receive your faith today. Through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A number of years ago, driving on I-94, and my engine light on the car came on. And I'm going like, "Now what?" Stopped the car, pulled off, looked underneath the car in front, and there was running down was antibodies. And I'm going, "Now what?" It's 10 o'clock at night. Can't drive the car, but this is going on. Thankfully, there was a motel nearby that we were able to stay overnight, and we found a garage the next morning not too far away from the motel, and they were able to fix the car and get us back on the road and for us to get home a little later than what we had thought. But maybe you've been in those situations where you kind of go like, "Now what?" That's what we find in our text here today. After Easter Sunday, we're actually on Easter Sunday, the disciples are kind of wondering, like, "What in the world's going on here? This is not the plan, man. It's not what we thought was going to take place. So now what?" Our leader, Jesus, has been crucified. He has died. He has been buried. Now what are we going to do? And we find that whenever we don't know what to do, there's a fear that comes upon us. When we don't know what to do. How many of you have heard at one time in your life of certain things? Sometimes it's health issues that you gotta go face. You gotta go see the doctor. You're gonna go like, "Now what is he gonna find? Now what's gonna happen along the way where I'm at in life?" Have you been there? Or are you there? Kind of know what that's like. We find that the disciples, they are in the room, that they're all in the same room, the door is locked. They're afraid of what the Jews might do to them if they did this to their leader, Jesus. They probably want to go out looking for them to find them and put them in jail or do something with them. And so they're kind of all scratching their heads right now, going like, what's going to happen here now? Now keep in mind that on Easter Sunday, the Sunday following the Jewish Sabbath, Jesus appeared five times. He appeared five times to different people on that morning. He showed himself to some women at the tomb. He showed himself to Mary Magdalene. Peter even got to see him. There's two guys on the Emmaus Road who were walking away from Jerusalem, and they were talking about that somebody had seen the Lord. Kind of trying to figure it all out, and Jesus actually joins them, and they don't know it's him. And then Jesus shows himself, like here in our text today, but there's only 10 disciples. You know, Judas Iscariot, of course, has kind of betrayed Jesus. He's not around. We also have another disciple's not there, Thomas, the first time Jesus appears to them. Thomas is in the room. I don't know where he's at. Anybody see Thomas? But he's not here. So the doors are locked. There is a fear of the Jews. Like I said before, whenever we don't know what to do, we tend to deal with fear. The second point is that Jesus reassures us in our time of fear. He does that here in our text. Jesus comes into this room. Remember, the doors are locked. It doesn't say that he came to the door. It doesn't say that he came to the wall. But his body is different now than it was before he died. His resurrected body is different. The promise that we have as well, our bodies are going to be different. And he's there in the room. And Jesus speaks to them. Now granted, he can say a lot of things to his disciples. He can give them a pretty good guilt trip after they all disappeared and left him by himself. Some of them weren't even at the foot of the cross when he was dying. So he could have given them a real good guilt trip or chewed them out, but instead, look what he says. He says, peace be with you. Those are good words. Peace. He then showed them his hands and his side, and you know, it's kind of like disciples really aren't sure if it's him or not. And he shows them his hands. Why his hands? It's where the nails were pounded through. Why his side? Through the spear. The Roman soldier took the spear and found out that he's already dead. They didn't have to break his legs like they did with the two thieves on each side of him. Jesus is already dead. Now think of this. This happened on Friday. This is 2 days ago, 3 days ago. How quickly do wounds heal where there's a scar? It takes more than 3 days. But here's Jesus standing in their midst, and he shows them the prints, the nail prints in his hands, the scar on the side, and he's speaking to them. Jesus wants to give each one of you here today his peace. Isaiah tells us, in Isaiah chapter 48 and 57, it says, there is no peace for the wicked. You know, ever heard that line before? There's no peace. People want peace. We hear it all the time in the news media, social media, that we want peace for the world. You had songs in the 60s and the 70s. About peace? How about the peace sign? How many times have you done that? And there is no peace. We only find peace when we deal with Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace with God? Or have you been kind of just mulling that around and struggling with a lot of different things, and you're like, you might not even think about God until Sunday comes? God wants to give you his peace. Once the disciples are convinced that Jesus is there, and I'm sure they don't understand everything, like, how can he be here? Because we know that he was put into the tomb, he died, he's been all these things, but here, you know, all the things that had happened to him, let's say anything about the scars on his forehead where the crown of thorns were pounded into him, it doesn't say anything about the scars that would be on his back from the flogging that he took. But he's standing there and telling them, peace be with you. When they realize it's really Jesus coming back from the dead. Like he said, the third day I'll rise again. His presence in that room kind of changes the whole mood in the room. Finally, it says that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. That had been a great revelation there. It really is Jesus. And so Jesus gives them a little bit of a pep talk. And he says to them, as the Father sent me, as he came to save sinners and to seek us, he says, I am sending you, referring to the disciples and anyone else who is a follower of his today. I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. Kind of reminds me of, I think it was communion last Sunday. When my wife came up front, she gave me something. It was a little thing like this. And I took it from her, and I thought it was tape. And there's no stickiness on either side of it. I go, what did you give me this tape for? She kind of goes, I go, like a bad breath. What? But you know, I was getting something like a frog in my throat, and these kind of things help take care of that. I didn't know them at the same time. I was kind of like, now what? But breathed. Jesus breathed on his disciples. What's interesting is that in the Hebrew, the word is ruach. Real guttural sound there. Ruach. It means breath or wind or spirit. The first time we hear that word is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7, when God has put the dust together, he formed Adam, and he breathed into him the ruach and gave him life. What Jesus does here is when he breathes on them, it is the Holy Spirit. It is the force of wind and of the Spirit that will come into his disciples. And it's a spiritual life that's given to them. A new spiritual life is breathing upon them, into them. And later on it comes to the Pentecost is when things really happen then. But he breathed on them. And this is how they're to go out and to accomplish the mission that Jesus wants them to accomplish. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. We're to go share the gospel. We are to go and evangelize. It's a worldwide evangelism plan. done is that we trust God through His Spirit that allows us to do things we normally could never, ever do ourselves. When's the last time you shared Jesus with someone? That you really talked about the gospel, the good news. When's the last time you've done that? You've been in a situation where you're like, man, I should say something because I think the door is open here, and you don't do it, and then you feel guilty because you didn't say anything. We pray for opportunities, and God gives them to us, and therefore we depend on Him to give us the ruach, His breath, His Spirit, to share with those who are wanting to hear and who need to hear. Because you have experienced His power in your life. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Interesting verse. Basically, it's just to say that everybody has the opportunity to ask God to be forgiven. Not everybody does it. Not everybody wants it. And that's, we are just to present the gospel and let God do the changing, let God do the working in people's heart. And if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But you have been faithful in doing it. Did you know that unforgiveness is the family counselor's bread and butter? Did you know unforgiveness is a family counselor's bread and butter? Unforgiveness is what keeps lawyers busy. Unforgiveness makes many seek a doctor. Unforgiveness destroys lives. That's why Jesus saw it was so important for Him to come and die for our sins, so that we would be forgiven. That we know that we're forgiven, that whatever has happened, whatever you've done in your life, in the past, in the present, in the future, God's forgiveness is there. To be forgiven and to understand how much you've been forgiven is very important. He who knows that they've been forgiven much will also love much. If you don't think you're forgiven for much, well, then you probably don't love too much. When you understand how much you've been forgiven, wow, the peace that comes into your heart and life makes a big difference. The resurrection says a lot about forgiveness and fear. You find it right here in our text. There's fear, and then for the disciples to be forgiven, you know, Jesus says that when He says, peace be with you. He could have said, you skunks, running around like a chicken with your head cut off when I really needed you the most, and you were not there. But He doesn't say that. Jesus comes into their midst and says, peace be with you. I like that. I need that. How about you? I need to hear those words, peace. Be with you. So if we looked at the resurrection, I'd say this to my confirmation students, that there's one word that will describe the resurrection, it would be peace. Jesus did it all for you. Peace. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is our peace. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there are nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, but one of the fruits are peace. And have peace with God. The Reverend Billy Graham, that's what he's all about, wherever he went. He just wanted to make sure that people could have peace with God, or find peace with God. And wherever you went, and he preached, gave you that, that time of commitment at the end, right here. Joseph's I am, now I am. You know, then you go like, well, I heard him preach, and I don't see any reason to go forward. But you looked at the crowds that were there, you got people just moving. And of course, sometimes the staff people just kind of broke the ice. They would go forward, and then people would go and follow them up front. But there have been multitudes of people who have given their lives to Christ because they saw their need for peace. Their lives were not in any way, shape, or form peaceful. May have looked good on the outside, just like you can look good on the outside when you come to church on Sunday. But inside, you're like, man, it's like a bunch of waves going on and clashing with each other. There's no peace in my life. I am a wicked person. I'm a sinner. But it's good that you're here because God says He'll give you His peace. He'll forgive you. You'll calm whatever's going on inside of you. Forgiveness brings peace to the soul. The mark of a Christian is one who knows God's peace. That's really what makes you different than from the people of the world. Sometimes people say, no, there's something different about you. I just can't put my finger on it. You can say, well, let me help you. It's probably because of Jesus. And the reason I say that is because I used to be like you in so many ways. But Jesus has forgiven me, and I'm different. And I just love Him because He first loved me. Do you know God's peace? Do you have God's peace today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all love the word peace. We all want peace. But there's a peace, Lord, that you talk about that happens spiritually. It happens within our own hearts that sometimes nobody else can really see it or knows what's going on, but when it takes place, when it happens, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to tell others, or we hear from others that they say there's something different about you. There's a calmness that you have. There's like nothing seems to really bother you, and you're just a peaceful person. Lord, we say hallelujah when those times happen. And we also know, Lord, that that's when the light should go on, or we go like, here's the opportunity to get real and to be authentic and to just say, Lord, I'm going to tell them what you've done in my life, if they like it or not. We trust you with the results. So Lord, today you come to bring peace to hearts, to souls that are here this morning, or are viewing us on Zoom. It's very simple for that to take place. It's just simply saying that you're a sinner, admitting that you are a sinner. Someone who needs forgiveness. And forgiveness is not a once-in-a-time deal. We need forgiveness every day, because we sin every day. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, because you hear our prayer. And then we ask you, Lord, to help us to live for you by your Holy Spirit each and every day. We know we're going to fail. We know we're going to mess up. But your presence who lives in us is here to help us. the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us, that teaches us and helps us. And when we fall on our face, it's you, Lord, that takes our hand and lift us up and say, hold on tighter. I'm with you. I'll walk with you. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust in me. I'm mindful, Lord, of what your word says in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is so true. There may be someone here today who needs that kind of peace. Can't explain it. All I know is it's there. And I'm different because of it. But I know the source is Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we count on you. We come to you today. We ask for your forgiveness. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We confess our sin. And just ask you to be our Savior. Come into our hearts and our lives, my life. And you'll walk with me. And show me the way which I need to go. And even though I'm one of your sheep that has a tendency to wander away and not always listening to you, you know that already, that you'll come and seek your sheep, your lamb, to bring us back to the fold where we need to be, where we find strength and love and nourishment in your word. So thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives today. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered in Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.